Open your Bible with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. As we have been reading down through chapter 1, we are talking about the certainty of an inheritance, the surety, the assurance, if you will, that we've got something for us in heaven. You will remember, just by way of review, that we were begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, yeah. Promise of God. It's there. It's reserved. Got your name on it. As you drop on down through here, you will notice he talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory, talking about receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then he talks about these Old Testament prophets as they recorded the Word of God, what was going to happen. You'll notice it says in verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They didn't know, and it must have made them crazy. Lord, when? Not for you. Not for you, son. Hang on. You got a job here and now. This is for later. Watch. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I don't know. Doesn't it make you feel kind of special to know that even before we were born, for that matter, before the Lord Jesus died on the cross, you had men like Isaiah and Zechariah, Malachi. You had men like Daniel and Ezekiel, all of them looking forward in time, having revealed to them by God things that were going to happen, and they didn't really understand. They wanted to. But they found out, it was revealed to them, this is not for you, but it's for people coming later. Doesn't that make you feel kind of special that God had you in mind when Isaiah was writing there in chapter 7 and verse 14, or chapter 9 and verse 6? Doesn't it make you feel just kind of special? I mean, stop and think about it. You read Isaiah chapter 53, and you see the suffering of our Lord. Or even before that, you go back to Psalm 22, and David records there something that he might as well have been there at the foot of the cross to see the suffering of the Lord on the cross. Because some of the very words that Jesus uttered on the cross came right out of Psalm 22. David knew before you were even born, before the Lord made his entry into this world, he knew some of the things that were going to happen because God had showed him. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. It's a funny thing. Here, in the last several years, there has been such a big fuss about angels and guardian angels and all that. Did you ever realize how much has been done for you that the angels are not a part of? They are, according to what you saw in the book of Revelation on several occasions, our fellow servants, our co-laborers. But they were never saved. They've never known the love of God that you have been touched by, because they didn't fall into sin, because they were never lost. But, my friend, you were. They cannot sing the song of the soul set free. As a matter of fact, as you look at the scripture, you will not find anywhere in the scripture where it says the angels sing.
Oh, sure they did, there, back when Jesus was born. Hark, the herald angels sing.
No, if you read the scripture, I'm sorry, the traditions that have clouded Christmas and some of the music, not exactly biblical, but if you strip all that aside, you'll find that when the angel made that announcement to the shepherds, it says, suddenly the heavens were filled with the heavenly host, praising God and saying, it didn't say they were singing, they saying glory to God. They cannot sing Amazing Grace. They cannot sing Just As I Am. They cannot sing O Wonderful Grace of Jesus. They cannot understand there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. They cannot understand. But my friend, you do, don't you? Have you thought about it? Or maybe you don't know. Maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. Oh, friend, don't waste any more time. Don't waste any more time. Hurry on down to the cross. Hurry on down and hurry on down. My friend, just get right to the point. You need to ask Christ to save you from your sins. Not a matter you have to be in church. You may be driving in your car listening to this on the radio. You need to bow your heart before Him. Confess your sins. Father, I'm a sinner. Jesus died to save me from my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. I want you to come into my heart and save me now. Well, my friend, you might not be running down the aisle to an altar of prayer. You might not be hitting the sawdust trail. You might just be beside your car or kneeling down beside the sofa. I don't care. The where is not important. The fact that it takes place is of eternal consequence. But you see, the angels, having never been lost, and you'll note, please, that the ones that did join Satan in his rebellion are kept in everlasting darkness, in chains in everlasting darkness, reserved to the judgment of that day. Salvation was never offered to them, as it is to you. And you'll notice it says, which things the angels desire to look into. They'd like to understand why the Lord of glory, who had been the sole audience of their praise, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is filled with His glory. Why on earth would He come to be born in a manger, die on a cross for us? Try to explain that to Gabriel or Michael or any of the other myriads of the heavenly host. They don't understand except for what they've been told. But to experience it, the peace that passes understanding, to be able to lay down into bed, go to sleep at night, and know that if you died during the night, you'd wake up in glory, they don't know what that's like. To feel the sense of guilt rolled away, the peace of God flooding the heart. Which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children. And he goes on, but let's back up. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. We might say it in a number of ways. Hey, get a life, get over it, move on, grow up. But here are people who have been persecuted. They're being harassed and heckled and mocked and all that kind of thing, and that would have a tendency to drag anybody down. But he says, hey, look here. Look at what the Lord has done for you. Look at all these wonderful things here revealed in the Scripture and the Old Testament, and you've been having it reported to you. He says, hey, look, gird up the loins of your mind. This idea of being sober means to be calm and collected.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your... Suck it up, boy. Yeah, quit your whining.
There's nothing harsh about this, I don't think. But I think what he's doing here, he's contrasting, comparison and contrast. Look at what you've got reserved in heaven for you. Sure, sure, you see, a little rough here. And yeah, they're picking on you. But looky here what God's got for you. All right? Now, come on. Come on, what you got to be down in the mouth about? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace. This word hope, please keep in mind, when you see this word hope in the scripture, we're not using some weak-kneed word that means wish. Hope, a glorious, a joyful, and confident expectation to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? This grace to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Say, do you know when you stand in his presence, you get a new body? The rewards, the blessings. Oh, yeah, I expect that. Why? Because the Bible promises it. Now, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, while there have been some things that seem to indicate that maybe his readership might have an acquaintance with Jewish background, the idea of the sprinkling, some of the other things that have been, making reference to the prophets and things of that sort, seem to point that direction. At the same time, notice here what he says. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, that's not anything that you'll find, for instance, James saying to a Jewish audience. But you will find Paul talking this way, say in Ephesians chapter 2, to a Gentile audience. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, shaping yourselves on the world's model, okay? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, when you didn't know any better. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, and he quotes here from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because I am holy, you're to be holy. Now, this, again, notice how out of step with, I tell you what, Peter isn't any more with it than Paul was. You say, what do you mean? Well, they seem to be certainly out of step with the contemporary kind of Christianity. When's the last time you heard any CCM, that is contemporary Christian music performer, talk about holiness in a experiential everyday sense? Oh, they want to talk about holy, 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 because it goes good with the rhythm of a duple rhythm in the music, but no, not this, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. I'm going to come back to this because this needs a lot more, well, maybe not a lot more, but we're going to talk about, starting here with verse 14, we'll come back to this, but notice please, as he which has called you is holy. My friend, he is, and he expects you to be holy. My time's gone for today. Join me next time.